I learned something new about Super Bowl-bound quarterback Cam Newton for this week's Three Stories You Should Know, our weekly segment that allows two well-informed journalists and one radio host to each present a story of the week. Joining me this week are Cindy Boren, reporter for The Washington Post, and Patrick Ruby, contributing editor of Vice Sports. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks.
Great to be here, as always.
Cindy, we're going to start with you and the aforementioned Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. What do you got?
You know, Cam Newton has had a phenomenal season. He's expected, you know, barring an upset of some sort, to be the MVP of the NFL. This is a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, if you can imagine. I mean, there are a number of other positions on the field he could be playing and playing well. And he's just a lightning rod for criticism. He gets letters for the way he dances after touchdowns. He gets letters for the fact that he goes over and hands a football to a kid after every touchdown that he scores. And this is a guy with a 1,000-watt smile who does a lot of charity work in Charlotte and should be probably more popular than he is. But he gets all of this criticism because he's sort of brash about it and unapologetic. You know, someone asked him, you know, how to keep him from doing touchdown dances. And he said, well, keep me out of the end zone.
Good answer.
There's also, well, yeah, exactly. It's complete honesty. And, you know, there's sort of a racial component to this. But more importantly, I think Ryan Clark from ESPN, the former NFL player, kind of hit it on the head when he said it was a real cultural thing. You know, this is a guy who embraces hip hop. And I think people are a little freaked out by it and a little afraid of it.
I definitely think there's a racial element to some of the criticism of Cam Newton, because the criticism, I mean, it's fairly ridiculous. I mean, but it's ridiculous in a way that's familiar that we've seen in sports before, and does seem to, although not be exclusively directed at African-American athletes, often seems to be more vociferously directed at them. So I definitely think there's a racial element. I think there might just be a generational element too. So maybe that's part of it. We're just seeing like grumpy older people not liking a young person who's good and knows it and sort of lets everybody know.
I qualify as a grumpy old person on most counts.
Me too.
But with respect to this particular question and Cam Newton, I think he's part of a longstanding and brave tradition. I'd go back to Jack Johnson, whom they had to invent a law for in order to arrest. Jackie Robinson after year one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the thoroughly estimable Bill Russell, Jim Brown, Serena Williams, much more contemporary example. This is a racial thing, and I think people are uncomfortable with black athletes who they think transcend what they should be doing.
And if you look at the first down celebrations and compare them side by side of Cam Newton and Tom Brady when Tom's really feeling it, you know, there's really no comparison whatsoever. Brady's celebrations of a mere first down are far more exuberant than Cam Newton's. So.
Yeah, besides, he let all that air out of the footballs. Everybody knows that, right? Cam Newton never did that, as far as I know.
Cam Newton's teams have never been linked to, like, wide-scale industrial espionage either.
Absolutely right. Patrick, your story is up next, and it also involves the sport of the hour, the NFL.
That's right. This one is about the NFL's rules for ticket resales, which are now being investigated by the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, for possible antitrust violations. Basically, what's happening here is the NFL, and I put this again, air quotes, encourages people with game tickets to resell them on something called the NFL Ticket Exchange. Some teams even require season ticket holders to use this, and they threaten to take away the tickets if you don't. The exchange itself is a marketplace, and it's run by our good friends at Ticketmaster. Now hold your groans for a second, because it gets worse. Basically, what this exchange does is enforces resale price floors, which means there's a limit on how cheaply you can sell your tickets. Now, these are tickets that you bought, and in theory, you should be able to sell them for whatever price you want. And if there's not a lot of demand, maybe you sell them for really cheap. People are getting screwed, and the NFL is arguably propping up the value of its tickets. But in a larger sense, I think we shouldn't be surprised by something like this, because taking advantage of rigged markets and monopoly power is kind of how the NFL and a lot of other sports organizations do business. So I'm glad, even though this seems like a small thing, that the New York Attorney General is looking into this. I hope in some small way it encourages the rest of us to ask why we give the sports leagues so much of this power and what they do with it.
I'm not at all surprised by it, but I applaud the New York Attorney General, because I think whenever you want to get the NFL's attention, all you have to do is rattle your saber about the antitrust exemption, you know, there's really only one way to get around it. Stop buying the tickets. That'll get their attention, too.
That would get the attention, and televised broadcasts with half-empty arenas and stadiums would also get their attention, I'm sure. I would only add that the NFL, evil and bad as it is not alone. The New York Yankees have put a price floor on the resale of their tickets as well.
And that's the thing. It's like, this isn't just the NFL. Like, as a society, we're the ones letting the sports teams do this. We're letting the leagues do this. We're letting them do things that, in theory, we don't let other businesses do.
Okay, my story involves two allegedly important sporting events taking place this weekend, the NHL All-Star Game and the NFL's Pro Bowl. The score in last season's hockey All-Star Game was 17-12. I don't think we have to say any more about that midseason classic. And the Pro Bowl, the NFL's All-Star Game, regularly distinguished by the number of players selected who declined to participate. The 2016 Pro Bowl has set a record for the number of players who've said, no, thank you very much, I'd rather stay home and watch TV. The league had to invite 133 players in order to fill 86 roster spots. And Patrick, it's kind of amazing that your phone didn't ring because they still need some guys down there who are small and quick. And while we're at it, the baseball All-Star Game has lost a lot of its appeal. It used to be great. You could see Willie Mays play against Mickey Mantle, and you couldn't see the great American leaguer play against the great National leaguer anywhere else. But now we see it all summer long with interleague play. I think it's time to put these alleged attractions out of their misery. What do you think, Cindy?
But what do you do in the meantime? You know, we need
sleep,
something in the
read,
middle of the
play
season.
With your children.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. They're fine on their own.
You have to do that. We already just had a snowstorm. People are sick of that.
Exactly.
At least on the East Coast.
Exactly.
Oh, you're all speaking up on behalf of corporate sports.
Well, actually, I am on your side here because the All-Star Games, I may defend them, but don't make me watch them, okay? Who wants to watch an NBA game where 300 points are scored? I don't.
Patrick, what do you think? Any excuse for these things?
First of all, the Pro Bowl thing is really interesting because it tells you something about NFL football where the guys have the opportunity to play in a game, but it's not mandatory. They're like, thanks, but no thanks. I think that tells you something about like how grueling NFL football is. In the larger sense, I'm actually going to take the opposite view here and stand up a little bit for the leagues and really for the brands and the sponsors who make the leagues run. You have all the people who sponsor the things coming in, you have players meeting with their agents, you have a meeting with the various companies they have shoe deals with. I mean, it's kind of like a game / industry convention. I don't think that they're without utility, and I don't think you're going to see them go away anytime soon.
Well, I hope you're wrong, and I'll have the final word this time. My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been Vice Sports' Patrick Ruby and The Washington Post's Cindy Boren. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.